Hello and welcome to the Melissa Diaz Report. My name is Melissa Diaz. Welcome to my show. In today's news, we're going to start with some navel gazing. And I believe the New York Times calls that an op-ed piece, in which I will tell you what's going on with my life. And then we're going to be followed with international news, where man kills two, wounds six in a car ramming and stabbing at English synagogue on Jewish Holy Day. That was last week. Terror group Hamas publicly agreed on Friday to Trump's proposed ceasefire and complete hostage release plan with certain conditions. Then in national news, we got President Donald Trump has declared the drug cartels operating in the Caribbean are unlawful combatants and says the United States is now in a non-international armed conflict. Whatever the fuck that means. Also national news, vigilante justice news. A federal district judge on Friday sentenced the would-be assassin of Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh to more than 8 years in jail, followed by supervised release for life. Then we're going to conclude with some commentary on a free press investigation, which reveals dozens of Catholic dioceses are subverting the Child Victim Act, rather stopping lawsuits in their tracks and pressuring victims to accept pennies on the dollar. Pennies on the dollar! Can you believe that? Right after a Jewish holy day, you trying to pull that kind of money scam, bitch? You don't do that, especially not around a Jewish holiday. That's not kosher, okay? That's what that is, not kosher. You got it? Anyway, but first, in navel-gazing news. So, my baby Sunday had her first chest cold. Yes, stop the presses. First chest cold. I don't know what the hell's going on with babies getting sick, but the first sick that your baby gets is heartbreaking because existentially, this is kind of her first foray into the kind of human suffering that goes unspoken of. It happens in silence and it happens in snot and cough, chest, congestion, and it just, your phlegm, it's like phlegmy suffering. Nobody talks about it. I mean, a lot of people who died in the Russian gulags in the 20th century, a lot of them died of just like a common cold because they had been worked to the bone to the point where they were so sick that anything could take them out, even just the flu. And that could kill you. But when you live in a society where people have access to pharmacies just everywhere, I mean, you can get cold medicine in pharmacies here. I mean, you can go get a cold medicine and not even use it for a cold. You could just make drugs out of it and smoke the drugs. And then, you know, eventually you will look like you belong in a Russian gulag, but that's not it, that you're just smoking meth or something. So this is, we're truly privileged where we can take our cold medicine, go beyond treating colds to actually making new problems. So it's pretty, in a sense, it's pretty good here. In another sense, it just makes it worse in some other ways that are more, I don't know, philosophical than they, and existential than they are direct. But anyway, yeah, it was her first cold. She's getting used to it. Getting used to that. I'm like, get used to that because you're going to get that. You're going to get that again and again and again. And you're going to get it on good days and you're going to get it on bad days. You're going to get it on days where the building blocks work and you build a castle, and you're going to get it on days where the building blocks don't work and you can't build nothing. Nothing. Nothing goes your way. All the blocks fall and you, no balance, and a bully comes and kicks over the thing you're starting to build. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to have a cold on both those days and you're going to have to run with it. You're going to have to run with your runny ass nose. And then in other news, you know, I was at a coffee shop today, and now I'm really gonna navel gaze here. I'm really gonna navel gaze, all right? You're really gonna fucking navel gaze, man. Because I was, I think I told you this last week, but I was watching that Mark Halpern show, which is kind of an interesting concept, and I think they're doing it better than others. The sort of cross the aisle bipartisan driven news where everybody kind of gets to be heard and, you know, you hear it from both sides. But the problem with that is the only thing that happens is like MAGA people just take over because I don't know why exactly. I'm still kind of what the thing is like MAGA people are the ones that are going to be obnoxious enough to speak up and show up are kind of like too obnoxious to be around for too long. So then I think like left wing people will then eventually kind of be quiet and dip. And because, but then the thing is that MAGA people will constantly reach out because they're always like, we want to talk. Because MAGA people are all like your aunts and uncles that you don't want to talk to. That's the problem. They're all of the aunts and uncles you don't want to talk to. So they approach every platform like, maybe I can see my niece again, you know? Maybe I can finally talk to my niece in this neutral sanctuary of political discourse. I don't know why everybody's aunt and uncle talks like that, but they do. And they do. And they're chain smokers. And they do. You know what I mean? They do. They do. So that's just kind of how it is. And but it's like they really try and they kind of push back against anybody who's like pro-Trump or this or that. But they also like give them space, right? And I like that because the discourse is more civil. But it will always be a little more red than blue. But that's because blue people don't really... You know, everything that a person on the right says is basically violence at this point for some people that are on the left. So I don't even want to be in the same room as you, you murderer. As if these people are fucking like they're all from it's red as in Republican, not red like Soviet Union. You know what I'm saying? But whatever. Yes. And so it was Amara Kyle Pern. There was a woman that went on from New Hampshire. And she actually said something that was pretty insightful that stuck with me. She was basically like, you know what? I think one of the real issues is now, it's not like class. It's not really class. It's not, you know, left versus right. You know, whatever, liberal, conservative. She's like, what it is that it's kids versus no kids. And that really piqued my interest. I was like, what? Lady from New Hampshire, please smoke another cigarette. Bust, crack out your Marlboro Lights and let me hear the rest of that. Crack open a beer. I want to hear this. I know it's 8 a.m, but come on. And so she said that. And basically her whole stance was like, you know, ideologically, like it's about kids versus no kids. And that a lot of the controversy is kind of stemming from that. And I think she might actually be onto something a little bit. So I just wanted to put it out there for you to think about, you know, because there are my lived experience. Can I tell you about my lived experience in my everyday life? I go to this coffee shop, right? It's kind of like dominated by obnoxious, like upper middle class cunts. But you know, these are people. They're nice people. They really care about their kids. They want the best for their kids. And you know, it's not their fault. They're cunts. It's the culture. So I don't take it personal. And I like a lot of them, but they had a lot of fucking kids running around and they love their kids and they sometimes too much. And sometimes they project a lot on their kids. They're like, you know, like it's like this kind of Texas, you know, white people it's not even really white anymore. It's just like Americana, Texan. It tends to be a lot of white people, but you know, that's just cause hello history. But, they're very like every daughter is a leader and every son is a creative artist kind of people. And everybody's recommending that you purchase, you know, amber teething necklaces for your fucking kid. It's like, yeah, OK, I want my kid to accidentally hang themselves when they run over to pet a goat and it gets snagged on a fucking fence. But anyway, yeah, I'll get my baby to gnaw on amber. Yeah, the. Thank you, alternative medicine person. Thank you so much. And every once in a while, like a downtown style Austinite will kind of trickle west, northwest of that area. And it's basically a person with a lot of tats, a lot of tattoos, usually no kids, pretty much always no kids, squishy, low muscle tone person who brings like their two dogs and they go sit there and they're like journaling, and they're all about like what they're doing and everything. Also, something that I respect, that's your culture. Do it, you know? No judge at all. Like, do it. Live your life. And nice tattoos, by the way. But I just want to put that out there, so I don't even know why. I don't know why I said any of that. It's just some bitch journaling with her two dogs and mad tattoos, right? Or somebody with like fuchsia hair or something like that, right? Like those kind of people show up and, you know, they're living their lives and stuff, and they're non-binary, you know, polyamorous pods or whatever. And they pretty much don't have kids most of the time. So that's fine. But then on top of that, they kind of dislike people. Oh yeah, and also those like those rockabilly types, which is basically like white trash, but they have like some kind of musical aesthetic or some kind of like, you know, edgy, you know, barfly with tattoos, kind of set, like retired groupie kind of vibe, right? And they have kids, but they hate their kids. They hate that they have kids. It means that they have to be waitresses, right? So all of these people, they kind of don't like kids, actually. They hate kids. They don't want to smile at your kids. They want you, and I get that too, like, you want to live your life journaling. You don't want to like look up and then see some bitch with her kid, her baby, and your glance happens to fall on them, and then she's like grinning at you like, isn't she precious? And the baby's like just full of snot, right? Yeah, I'm describing this day for me in particular, but it's kind of like that, right? And I get that too. But I feel like there's actually like a distaste also, because I come from that group actually. And then I sort of percolated into this group with kids for some reason, and now I'm just kind of here surrounded by people that are unrelatable in a lot of ways except for the kid. And there's a distaste for kids. There's a distaste for people who enjoy their kids unironically. You know what I mean? Because it's like, you can't be having kids when there's kids dying in Gaza. There's kids dying in Gaza. What are you doing having the kids? And it's kind of like the zero sum game, right? Like, and also they don't like self-improvement, and if you have a kid, you kind of have to do that. You gotta self-improve. You gotta get your shit together because you have a baby, and usually you're doing it and then you have a baby because of that. It's a part of the whole process of growing it towards the light finally. And people who journal a lot, they want to live in the dark, and the problem is that that's a voting block now. And in some respects, it's cool. They're voting, right? They about, you know, injustices, perceived injustices. But then on the other hand, I do think they do have an issue, like dinks and stuff, right? Double income, no kids people. I do think they actually judge people who do choose to have kids. And it's because of like climate change and various anxieties and existential dreads that they are projecting. But they hate seeing happy kids frolicking in the sun with their parents, like without thinking about, you know, like who the fuck knows, like, you know, like the fall of Syria or some shit like that, or like the patriarchy. Like, if you're not thinking about that, and if you're not crushed by the idea of that, what's wrong with you, kind of deal. And ideologically, they are distinct. They are different. But if you're going to choose like between the two groups, I mean, obviously the people with the kids should be prioritized, right? Because they have kids. But I think additionally, people without kids resent that shit. So there is kind of a tension. There's a tension between kids, no kids. There is. And I don't mean like people who just happen to have kids and kid people who happen to not have kids. I mean like people who have kids and are kind of annoyingly cool, like pro-kid, and also people who are annoyingly anti-kid. It's both of those extreme groups. There's a tension, and then it's threaded through daily interactions between these two groups. So, I don't know, make of that what you will, but I do think that is something. I think that lady from New Hampshire, I think she had a point. I'll keep thinking about it. I'll get back to you once I pull my head out of my ass about it. But anyway, let's move on to the actual news. I just wanted to mention this in passing. Man kills two, wounds six in car ramming and stabbing at English synagogue on Jewish holy day. Ramming and stabbing. That's That's almost like, that's going to become an expression, I bet. An R&S, a ramming and stabbing. That's going to be like a UK expression for a terrorist attack. Because they don't have guns. So it's probably going to mostly be rammings and stabbings. They always come, and it, yeah, I could see that. It's kind of like fish and chips, ramming and stabbing. You know what I mean? Kippers and beans. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So there was a rabbing and a stabbing. Jewish synagogue in England. And I just wanted to point out that the guy's name was Jihad. And I want to say that I don't think this man had a choice but to be a terrorist. He probably had about two choices total. Jihad, and you know, you have to like join the holy war and become a terrorist, or Jihad, change your last name to Johnson and you become a UK stripper. You become an English stripper called Jihad Johnson, and you kill it. You kill it with the ladies, okay? And with the free non-religious Arabs and freewheeling British whites. They'll just love you. Jihad Johnson. You know what I mean? He's laying down that holy war with his dick in your face. Jihad Johnson to the rescue. He performs at bachelorette parties and for a fee would do children's parties as well. Jihad Johnson, everybody. Yeah, that sucked. But he was killed, so he'll never live to fulfill the destiny of the stripper. He did the other one, the less fun one, and they shot him. Also, additionally, it seems like they shot one of the victims in the synagogue attack and accidentally killed one of the victims. And see, this is the problem. If you're gonna give your cops guns, like give them guns all the time or something, like here, because it seems like their target practice is lacking. They don't seem to. I don't know. Maybe that happens here though with our cops. I'm not sure how accurate you can be with a gun in a situation like that. So that's just kind of how it's going to play out. But yeah, they got him. They got him. Lots of fun, guys. Vigilante justice. Always fun. Anyway, in other terror news, the terror group Hamas publicly agreed on Friday to Trump's proposed ceasefire and complete hostage release plan with certain conditions, as the president told reporters on Sunday that he expects the plan to be completed successfully in a couple of days. Still, in an interview that same day with NBC News Meet the Press, Secretary of State Marco Rubio said, "There's some work that remains to be done," to finish the deal. So basically Trump was like, "We're going to be done in a couple of days. It's going to be huge. Then I'm going to have a Nobel Peace Prize. I'm going to put it in my bathroom over the toilet. Beautiful." And then Marco Rubio's like, well, I mean, about that. He's just kind of, that's a Trump. Trump just kind of like barrels through a room of reports, just says a bunch of shit. And then behind him are all the people that are, they kind of like poke their heads out whenever it pertains to whatever department they work in. They're like, "Well, actually, we kind of have to finish some paperwork, and I need to send this postcard, and then perhaps, yes, this might be accomplished, but we don't know." So, yeah. Mediators from Israel and Hamas plan to meet in Egypt on Monday to hash out the final details. Okay, I guess that's promising. Trump requested on Friday that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu halt the Israel Defense Forces aerial attacks on Gaza. Yeah, good luck with that. While final terms are being negotiated, and while the IDF scaled back the magnitude of such attacks, it did not entirely pause its military operations in the region. Yeah, no shit. Yeah. Trump and Netanyahu. This is an interesting one. Look, Axios reported yesterday that Trump told Netanyahu over the phone on Friday that he needed to take the win, adding, "I don't know why you're always so fucking negative." However, in a Sunday text message, why is it so negative? Because he's going to get court-martialed he's gonna like get tried at The Hague or something eventually for like human rights abuses. Even if like you don't believe that he committed just objective human rights abuses as just that's it, and that, you know, the situation is complex and there's nuance, you know, these people are at war, even then you have to acknowledge that eventually they're going to need a scapegoat, and it's probably going to be him, and he probably even knows that. So anyway, that's probably why he's so negative. However, in a Sunday text message to CNN anchor Jake Tapper, who asked Trump what would happen if Hamas attempted to remain in power in Gaza, Trump said, complete obliteration. Isn't that fun? This is according to the Morning Dispatch, by the way. He's threatened hell for Hamas if they don't sign in, and that's it. And that's all. That's what's going on right now. It would be a lot of news outlets are expressing a lot of skepticism about this deal, Middle East deal, with for good reason, because even Trump is like, yeah, this conflict's been going on for 2,000 years. Although I guess this is the game, right? It's I guess on the I don't even know what the fuck to call these sides, but okay, on Israel's side, right? If you're gonna be justifying your side, your part in the war, right? The war's been going on for 2,000 years, and it's Israel against the entire Arab world. Which then the thing is like historically, I think you could actually point to some proof of that, right? But then if you go on Gaza's side, you know, on the Palestine side, the war's been going on for 50 years or whatever, 60 years, and it's just Gaza versus Israel, or it's isn't it just Gaza versus Israel? Is the West Bank doing anything these days? I don't think so. So that's it. What side you are depends on how myopic you want to be, and that in and of itself is zooming out even of further out from how far out Israel goes to see that they're both just holding on to whatever perspective makes them look like the ones that are defending themselves. But we all know that nobody knows what the fuck is going on. That's my take. There's too much dust in the air. The shit has hit the fan. But objectively, like, you know, we got one side is truly pummeling the other. And people feel bad about that. I think they're returning Greta Thunberg now. But the thing is like, you know, this is propaganda from Israel's propaganda versus Hamas's propaganda, right? But now, you know, activists and interested third parties from the other parts of the world that want to join in, you know, private groups, public groups, activist groups, all the groups, influencers, which Greta Thunberg is now, right? Not really. She's kind of not really an activist as so much as she's an influencer activist, which is, it's an activist who is a narcissist. That's basically what that is. But the thing is like everybody has a camera now on their phone. So everybody is a propagandist. Everybody's spinning the story to suit them. And so there's too much story. There's too much spin. We're spinning plates over here, okay? And nobody knows what the fuck is going on. Plates aren't even supposed to spin like that. You're supposed to put them on the table and eat shit on them. What am I talking about anymore? I don't know. Listen, I'm just saying there's too much fucking spin and no objectivity. That's it. That's all I'm saying. And that's all that I see so far. So what are you going to do? I think I'm doing what everybody else is doing. Everybody's just kind of sitting back and going, all right, well, then I guess we just have to see who wins. And that's it. Because it's like, what else are you going to do at this? This is kind of like some weird, like, monkey shit. You know, this is like when you get to the point where if you see that if you get involved, you can't help. All you will do is get like kind of sucked in and pulled into the conflict and placed in a place where you're either weaponized or just gotten rid of by one or the other, or another, even a third party, right? So there, it's like you get involved, you will be destroyed. You will waste your life. Nothing will be accomplished. So eventually, I think people will start to go, okay, well, fuck it. I mean, we just got to wait. It's, you know what I mean? The waiting game. And some people have been waiting 2,000 years. Some people have been waiting 50 years. On one hand, you know, I can kind of see it both ways, but I think when I was younger, I think I saw it more like, oh, it's been happening for 50 years, person. But I think as I got older, somehow, I don't know, I started seeing everything like shit has been going on for 2,000 years or more. So, and I don't even, it just changes how you look at shit for some reason. Maybe it's just a way for me to be more complacent. I don't know. Maybe it's just a way for me to be able to just sit in front of this microphone and blah, 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 blah. And then I feel like, hey, this is what else can I do? You know what I mean? Smoke a Newport, crack open a Corona Light. You know what I'm saying? Just kind of hang out here and just shoot the shit, you know? It's like, what are you going to do? You got your kids, you know? You raise your kids right. That's what's the best you could do. You know what I mean? You know, everybody becomes that person sooner or later, or you kill yourself. You know what I mean? Somehow. Like, maybe not actively suicidal, but just you kill yourself through anxiety or drugs or something. And I think eventually you realize, like, am I going to destroy myself over the news? Over a thing that's happening very, very far away, right? Or am I going to try to actually, like, climb out of my own holes and, you know, fix myself? Yeah, I don't know. I think that's all you can do, personally. I know that's frowned upon now. That's not a popular position with certain people, but I've seen it, you know, in my life. The better you improve, you make your life better, you make the lives of people around you better, your attitude better, everybody else's attitude improves. And I mean, realistically, if everybody did that, then we might actually solve the fucking Middle East crisis, because I don't know. It just seems to be the more effective way is more decentralized. But people want to do, you know, it's like centralized, come together, mob justice shit. And I don't know. It's just not going to work, I don't think. But we'll see. No, Trump is very motivated. He wants to win the Nobel Peace Prize or something, maybe. I don't know. I mean, I don't personally think that. I think I saw that in the news. But sure, maybe he does. Maybe he wants to win the Nobel Peace Prize. And this will motivate him to do the impossible. I mean, if he solves the Middle East crisis, do you give a shit if it was him or not? Or what? I mean, I've already seen a couple Facebook posts from people. They're already trying to spin it. There's always a way to spin things now to not be happy with things, and that's another issue. I'm not saying they're not wrong or that they're wrong. I'm just saying, like, there's so much spin right now. There's no truth. That what are you supposed to do exactly? And then people forget, right? You're constantly getting propaganda. Like, you grow up, people are telling you shit like amber necklaces are the best for teething. And it just is a generational thing. Nobody said that shit about amber necklaces when I was growing up. They're saying it now, right? Why? I don't know. Some fucking crackpot influencer finally got through to some podcast. So he got on Joe Rogan and mentioned it. And now it's like popular and people are doing it. And they just do it. And then like 50 years from now, they'll find out that like amber, you know, makes you grow a second head or something. And now that, oops, sorry about that. But now you got all these kids with two heads. What are you going to do? I don't know. Let's hope the second head isn't like in opposition to the first head's core ideology. Because then they'll never shut the fuck up. You just hear two-headed people at coffee shops just arguing, you know, to themselves constantly about Israel versus Palestine. Can you imagine that shit? We got to stop this. Just for that reason. It's just to prevent that. But yeah, if they solve the Middle East crisis, I don't give a fuck who does it, honestly. I would like the killing to stop. That's it, period. Anyway, in domestic news, President Donald Trump has declared drug cartels operating in the Caribbean as unlawful combatants and says the United States is now in a non-international armed conflict, according to a Trump administration memo obtained by the Associated Press on Thursday. Related news, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth announced on X Friday that the U.S. military shot and destroyed a fourth suspected gang-affiliated boat trafficking illegal narcotics to the U.S. from the Venezuelan coast, adding that the strike killed all four men aboard. Oh, wow, you killed four men out of an international drug cartel. Congratulations. Some four men who were just driving a boat somewhere. They probably thought they were carrying avocados and, you know. Anyway, Hegseth said that the suspects were linked with one of the designated terrorist organizations. Okay. Without specifying which cartel. Okay. Yeah, cartels are terrorist organizations now. But claimed the U.S. intelligence confirmed without a doubt that this vessel was trafficking narcotics. The people on board were narco-terrorists. That's the new word. Narco-terrorists. What was it that they used to call like super... like Hillary Clinton used a term, it was, and it just basically like justified killing a bunch of black guys with the, you know, the cops, like super criminals or something like that. She called them super criminals. And was it the war on drugs? I'm not sure, but that happened. They always come up with a nifty anxiety causing term that makes people kind of get behind it. They were operating on a known narco trafficking transit route. Okay, all right. What isn't a known narco traffic and transit route? I mean, they literally put drugs in avocados. They put it in everything. I think everything is a narco trafficking transit route these days. Literally everything. Anything. Cereal boxes. Condoms. Everything. What the fuck? All right. People themselves are narco trafficking transit operators. They're as drug mules, and those are just like farmers and shit trying to, well, I guess they used to be. I don't know what the state of immigration is now, but I mean, it's usually just, you know, just like rural peasants basically. And I call them peasants cuz they still live on other people's land, like feudal lords. They like own these people, and they just want to get away. And that's not all of them, obviously. There's a lot of different people migrating. I'm just saying those are the dumber ones. So they would probably be more likely to carry the drugs. The Trump administration had informed Congress days earlier that the president has decided the U.S. is in a formal, quote unquote, armed conflict with drug cartels. Are we? For a long time, I thought we were just in business with them. I guess I was wrong. I guess we're going to change that now, huh? Let's see how that goes. I don't know. It sounds like they just want a piece of the pie to me. Well, that's my cynicism talking. Maybe they do want to get rid of the cartels. I don't know that they can, though. Drug cartels are a kind of... I wouldn't call them narco-terrorists. They're not terrorists. They're more like... Because they're not ideological. They don't have an ideology driving them. It's just pure profit. It's just that the profit is so high that it's too tantalizing. It's tempting enough to destroy a nation with the attempt to get the money. Like in Africa with the sale of bushmeat, poachers, not just bushmeat either, just you know, like rhinoceros horns, elephant tusks, anything that a Chinese person thinks will make their dick bigger is fair game. Is fair game. They will shoot the shit. They will shoot an elephant down. They will shoot a whole pod of elephants, the entire matriarchy, and take the tusks, grind it up, and then they go sell it in Asia because these guys want bigger dicks. That's the deal. That's what's going on. Everybody knows it. And if it's not bigger dicks, it's like Middle Eastern like warlords who are basically stuck in the fucking like Middle Ages still, where they want like an ornate ivory sword handle, and they want it, you know, you want an authentic elephant, you know what I mean? And this is just kind of the state of the world. This is why you start to realize like things have been happening for thousands of years, because people are still doing the same stupid shit. Right? Asian people still sensitive about their penises. And in India, I think, too. and they need these elephant tusks to make the dicks bigger or something, right? They need a tiger penis. They need to eat it right now because, hello, women. Hello. Hello. And that's the thing, is that then they have all these, park rangers fighting the poachers. But they have to do it with guns because the poachers, there's so much money made from selling this meat and this ivory and all of these products that they have Uzis and helicopters. Like the poachers in Africa, they come in like a SWAT team. Like a janky SWAT team. They come in on a helicopter. They rappel down. Like, they have this equipment. They come in. Uzi. They shoot, animals with Uzis. Can you imagine that? Like, it's like a Batman villain, but he just goes to a park and decimates the squirrel population. You know what I'm saying? And that's what happens there. And then here, I mean, do you think the poachers have an ideology? The ideology is money. The ideology is like, this is a lot of money. Let's fucking do this. And the drug cartels is the same thing. They're not terrorists. They're capitalists, really. They're hyper-capitalists is the problem. And I don't personally actually have any problem with capitalism, real capitalism. I do have something against, I have some gripes, I would say, against our form of capitalism, which is kind of a monopolistic capitalist structure. I don't like that. I don't like Citizens United. I don't like any of that shit. But I don't see how it would even ever go any other way. But be that as it may, the cartels they're just trying to make money because there's so much money to be made. And if in the same solution seems to be eluding people in Africa as it does in the United States. Like, if Chinese people stopped caring about the size of their penises, or if Indian people, I forget which group does it. I know it's some kind of Asian country. If they stopped trying to eat tiger penises to make their dicks bigger, if there were more body positivity, then maybe the poaching would go down because the clientele would go away. And just like that, it's the same in America. If everybody stopped doing fucking cocaine, then the cartels would lose profit and then they would turn to something else. I mean, as it is, they already are kind of doing that. They're diversifying. They don't even cut avocados with drugs anymore so much as they cut it with shittier avocados. They're diversifying their investments, or their asset structure, rather. Their assets. You know what the fuck I'm saying. Anyway, what I'm saying is, the one thing that everybody is doing here, no matter what your ideology is cocaine. Is cocaine. Do you hear me? And then in the lower rungs, you got the fentanyl and the meth and all that. But everybody's doing cocaine. Everybody's doing cocaine. All right? And if you are like, who's doing cocaine? You're just boring. You're boring. You're the one that's not doing cocaine. But everybody around you does cocaine. They just don't want to tell you because you're a narc. You're clearly not fun. So they don't want you to know that they do cocaine. But they're doing cocaine. You think people here have that much pep in their step naturally? You think people here are proactive to the... You think people would sit through this many, self-help books and other kinds of stupid, commodified optimist literature if they weren't doing cocaine? Cocaine is what makes people feel like they can actually make it in this country. Cocaine. That's where it starts. That's what college students... Cocaine. Okay? And then the people that aren't doing cocaine are fooling themselves into thinking they're not doing cocaine by doing Adderall. And you're doing Adderall. And so Adderall is basically cocaine. I mean, really, it's meth. It's a form of meth. And you're doing meth. So everybody here is doing meth and cocaine. And the cartels are making bank. And then their solution is to crack down on the cartels. And what I see there, really, is that this country wants in on the action. I don't think that they want people to stop doing cocaine. There's too much money to be made. They have Big Pharma, though. And Big Pharma, I think, wants the lion's share of this drug pie. And they've almost got it. And their only rival are the cartels. And so the cartels really are kind of like a scrappy underdog, really, in the grand scheme of things. So, like, just like with Israel and Palestine, it depends on how far you zoom out and how far back in history you go to see who's actually the villain, in a sense, right? And not, I'm not even villain, but like who's the actual like aggressor? Like who started this shit for whatever reason? And yeah, is it the pharmaceutical companies behind? I don't fucking, like, nobody knows anymore. There's so much spin. You don't know anymore. You just have to make uneducated guesses. Like, you can't even make educated guesses anymore. You got to make uneducated guesses about what the fuck is going on. And thankfully, I believe people actually, because we are humans and we know each other, we can tend to hit the nail on the head. We got pretty good averages. It's not the best. We're doing the best with what we have at this point. We're being actively discouraged from research, doing our own research, right? Stuff like that. We're being actively discouraged. We're being encouraged to be ignorant and rely on technocrats, basically, to give us all the answers. And then we just gobble it up and don't ask questions. So we're stuck. We're just here making uneducated guesses. And then we look at our phones and our phones show us just a confabulation of bullshit. And then from there, we wade through, if we're so inclined, if we're bored at a coffee shop on a Saturday afternoon. And then we just kind of like throw shit together. So now we're just making spin for ourselves, for our own brains. And all these plates are spinning. And then eventually, though, we're going to spin one too many plates and the whole thing's going to come crashing down. And I can't wait for that day because I'm tired of spin. I really am. I'm tired of propaganda only. Propaganda's not bad, but lately it's just too much. Anyway, finally, let's finish this up. A federal district judge on Friday sentenced the would-be assassin of Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh to more than 8 years in jail, followed by supervised release for life. Sophie Roski, I think that's how you say this name, a biological male whose lawyers last month claimed was a transgender woman. That's a weird way to phrase that. Pleaded guilty. I mean, the lawyers claimed it, or is this person a transgender woman? Pleaded guilty in April and, per court documents, admitted to traveling from California with the intent to kill three justices. I mean, you see what I'm saying? What the fuck is going on? Right, but like, all you can do is kind of spin it for yourself, right? You make an uneducated guess. So all I can do is I go, okay, this person's transgender. What does that mean nowadays? It means they're probably autistic. Not because all trans people are autistic, but we have seen the ones that are, and they tend to, their transgender identity tends to overlap with social justice. And it goes beyond even trans rights. It goes to a lot, right? But and also, I happen to have learned recently that people with autism do frequently have an outsized sense of justice as compared to the general pop and gen pop, the open air prison colony that is the United States of America. And so, this is me. I got to spin this together and try to cobble some semblance of reality from the little things that I know, right? So this is a trans person. This is a guy who identifies as a woman who is probably autistic because they basically don't have enough social savvy to understand spin to the degree where they read something on Facebook and now they want to travel from California to kill three people. This is not normal. And it's not that we're living in like fascist America and then they're just, you know, oh, I gotta do it, right? It's that they read that meme, let's say online, let's say something like, oh, you know, it's not normal to be adjusted to a profoundly sick society. Seen that meme, right? That shit's all over the place, right? You read that, you read a couple other things, you see the Gaza thing, right? And now you wanna go kill somebody. And you don't understand how this is working right now. So you go and you go with the intent to murder three people. So in June 2022, Roski, with a firearm, knife, and zip ties, I mean, from California. Yeah, it's hard to know what this person had in mind. I mean, are they going to kill somebody or are they going to a kink party? I don't know. Hailed a taxi to Kavanaugh's neighborhood and paced outside his home before ultimately informing law enforcement on the phone about having suicidal and homicidal thoughts. This person was fighting in their soul and they won. That's something that I commend them to. You know, I commend that they clearly were fighting these demons and they won. And I want to commend them for that. They're never going to hear this, but I'm just saying I congratulate that person for defeating their demons before they actually murdered or tried to murder somebody. That's actually really great. The sentence came in well below federal guidelines and just 1 month more than Roski's defense attorneys had proposed, with District Court Judge Deborah Boardman. Oh my God, a judge named Deborah. Okay, my name's Deborah. I'm going to crack open this Michelob and I'm going to think about your case, but it's not looking good right now. It's not looking good right now, dude. I mean, sorry, dudette. I mean, miss. Miss is good, right? Okay, yeah. So I just want to be respectful. I just want to be respectful, drink this Michelob, and just kind of think about what my decision's going to be. My name's Deborah Boardman. I'm a judge. I'm a district court judge. Anyway, all right, that's enough of that. So she made a decision because Roski decided to come clean. Yeah, I think, see, that's something I agree with. Adding, though she got far too close to executing her plans, sure, the fact remains she abandoned them. Exactly. I'm totally with that judgment. Attorney General Pam Bondi said the Justice Department would appeal. Shut up, you cunt. Describing the prescribed 97-month imprisonment as a woefully insufficient sentence imposed by the district court, which does not reflect the horrific facts of this case. Well, you know, Pam Bondi can suck it. And also, we don't have any mental health is worth a damn here. So we send sick people to jail, and it's not fair to send. Why are you going to send them to jail for as long as somebody who's not sick in the head? And also, like, who the fuck even knows whether, I don't know, this justice system is, you know, I guess it's kind of running. It's adequate. A lot of people fall through the cracks, though. It's not great. But I do agree with that decision. Yeah, I think that's fair. I think if you... I don't know. I think it's good when a legal decision is made considering, you know, with the consideration of the moral implications of the person in question. And, you know, what it means and what they were doing. And, you know, whenever you can combine any kind of moral code to the ethics of justice, I mean, that's kind of peak justice. That's what you would hope for. And I think it just doesn't happen often enough. But anyway, Ghislaine Maxwell didn't get her retrial. So there's another one. Ghislaine Maxwell is a perfect example of, like, why you don't want to be a pick-me-girl. Like that. Like, you be a pick me girl for the fun stuff, motorcycle rides, you know, hanging with the boys, you know, free protection when you're out late at night because you're surrounded by guys. But, like, don't do dirty shit for guys because you're the one that's going to pay. Because, you know what I mean? All the guys that she did this dirty shit with are gone, and she's the only one that really has to pay. And that's just how it goes. And it's not even just being about being a pick me girl, it's just, you know. I don't even know what her motive was. Maybe she was just a piece of shit. You know, sometimes you got to give women the credit. You know, you got to give women humanity enough to just be like, maybe this person was just a shithead. And she wasn't trying to be a pick me girl and she wasn't trying to be nothing. Maybe she was just a fucking dirtbag. And that's really what you have to assume. And finally, I just want to bring up the fact that a Free Press investigation reveals how dozens of Catholic dioceses are subverting the Child Victim Act, stopping lawsuits in their tracks and pressuring victims to accept pennies on the dollar. This is a Free Press article. It's pretty interesting because personally, I feel like so much went wrong once the Catholic child molestation scandal broke. That was one of the defining moments of this country. It shocked people. And then also, you know, all this other child molestation in all this place and in all the other places, you know, Boy Scouts of America, the Mormons, all this shit. And it's just, I feel like it's a major thing in this country. I think, especially if you watch like Soft White Underbelly on YouTube, you watch enough of those videos and you realize, like, Everybody on Skid Row got molested. That's basically this is the problem. This is the reason people. This is the infrastructure problem. You know, this is like the Mexican drug cartels. This is everything. It's like if you don't focus on victims and users, you're never gonna really figure out what's going on and why it happened. And people are always going to be able to spin some bullshit and convince you of something else. But if you keep your eye on the prize, you know, if you look at the druggies, if you look at the people in the low places and you hear their stories, I think that's the way to know what's really going on, because they never want you to look at those people. Like, look at this, the Catholic diocese, they're just trying to tuck it away, right? They don't want the victims to be heard, because if once they open their mouths, it's like it just blasts it wide open. You start to see how the whole fucking thing works and how it worked to, fuck over all of these, mostly children all of the time, right? Like even the coke thing, right? People doing cocaine here, and Adderall. Where do you start doing that? Fucking college, high school. So you want to perform or just feel good. So I don't know, dude. It's just making me want to go have a nice conversation with a crackhead and just chill. But anyway, maybe I'll go do that. Maybe I won't. Anyway, this is all the time that I have. This has been the Melissa Diaz Report. Thank you for listening. I have been Melissa Diaz. Thank you for listening to the rambles and the rimbles and the rumbles and the rumbles. And I'll talk to you on Thursday. I hope you have a good week. I'll be back. I'll be back with some more news. Until then, this was the Melissa Diaz Report. I was Melissa Diaz, but now I'm out.